Hi, everyone. Good morning. Just out of curiosity, just so I know kind of the audience to which I'm speaking, how many of you are involved in school health thing? Okay. How many are more public health? Okay, good. And there's probably other, and so that's okay, too. I think this will be of interest to both groups because Martha kind of presentation was a great beginning point of introducing this topic as well, which is, you can see from the steering committee, Martha is a member of, this is a joint project between the National Association of School Nurses and the National Association of State School Nurse Consultants. There are state school nurse consultants in 35 states, and they usually, they either work at the Department of Health or in this at the state level or at the State Department of Education. So this is a joint project. I have nothing to disclose, but I do want to say that the three companies there, CareFlow, Health Office, and SNAP is what we call it, Health, those three, they did provide funding for some of our face-to-face meetings that we had. Nothing to do with the actual project. It was just truly so that we could meet face-to-face, and we'd like to give them a shout out. We don't have a lot of vendors that do school nursing data, and these are three of them, so they've been very supportive. What I'm going to talk about today is the a uniform data set for school nurses to collect data, but I want to make sure, especially because we're here at APHA, that from a public health standpoint, I think it's important for school nursing, but I think it's really important for public health too, and I hope that that comes out here. You know, population health, one of the big things that we really lack is a coherent way of really knowing what our population health is, and that I think is specifically true for children. When you look at samples that are all very well done, when you look at the sample size though, especially for children, they're very small, in which they're making very large generalizations. Statistically very correct, and I'm not questioning that in any way, but what we have here is an opportunity where 98% of school children are in schools, and if we are able to collect the data actually real time from the schools, we have a much better understanding of how many children really have certain conditions or what's really going on with the population, and we would have it at a much at a better local level. Oftentimes we have county rankings, which are good, but this brings it down even more into a zip code and school level, which brings a lot, especially from public health when we look at social determinants and other factors that influence health. Understanding that context is so important. So, and that's where the big data comes in. The value of school nursing data is that when N is all, or about 98%, it's pretty amazing what we'd be able to do with it. And this is the vision that we have with this Step Up and Be Counted, which you'll see the logo in the corner, just so you probably figured that out, but you know, just in case. But we'd improve surveillance from public health. In addition, we'd really be able to see what were the most effective interventions in populations with varying characteristics. Also, from a research perspective, which is where I come from, it's phenomenal, but also can impact policy and management as well. We would just have a really better understanding of the populations of our children, and not only that, but schools in many ways, for those of you, since many of you are from school health, it's a way to work with families, because we understand, and we can't really address children unless we address their families as well. So, as I've kind of alluded to, this is a way, and as part of the environmental scan that we did for this, we looked to see what was being collected already, because we certainly didn't want to duplicate anything. And the consultants looked at what they were collecting across the states, and about 29 states were collecting data, but it was all over. We thought, you know, we'd be able to find like some common ground and start there. We were amazed that that wasn't really possible. They might have used the same topic, but they were measuring it and collecting it so differently between states, we couldn't really do much with it other than for that one state. And from the National Association of School Nurses side, we looked at other national studies that looked at children's health, and a lot of those, partly because they were national studies, were more focused on what policies existed, not what actually was occurring in the school. So they gave us some good frameworks of what policies were important, but we were looking a little differently than that. Oh, whoops, and there's my, I'll go back a few slides. That was the quick version. I'm done. How's that, Laura? I'm way on time. And then we realized that this is going to take time. We actually, as we began this, I was at a conference, actually it was in Ireland, and where Ireland had rolled out, it wasn't for school nursing, but it was for public health nursing, and the experts talked about at least 5 to 7 years once it was all identified. And we are in that process of still identifying data points, but as a committee, we really felt people were chopping at the bit. As as Martha mentioned, people, it was great that school nurses want to collect data, and we'd get calls all the time. And I was a school nurse, and I remember, and I wasn't a very good example of data collected. I covered multiple schools, and I had my day planner, and that's where I kept my notes. I didn't have electronic record or anything. And I did not do well. I know Martha's dying, but it was a long time ago, too. But at least I documented. There were a lot of nurses, and we are still finding that weren't really documenting what they do. So that was how I kept track of my numbers, though. Not great, I realize now, of course. But the idea is that school nurses really needed some guidance was part of it, too. We ask them to collect data, but then we don't tell them what to collect. So this idea was that not only helping identify what were the most important, and this is a minimum data set. It's not identifying everything that school nurses do. We have another project at NASN that we're going to hopefully be starting that is going to address more of what school nurses should be collecting and documenting on a daily basis. But for this is a minimum. Most importantly, as we found out, that they're all collecting it the same way. And it's with the idea that local school nurses can use the data locally, sharing it and building partnerships with public health and the healthcare systems at a state level, but then also that it would all come together nationally where we'd have this database. So the first year was last year, and these are the data points that we collected. There were 15 total. I'm just going to tell you where the concerns are now instead of at the end. What we didn't think, we thought chronic conditions would be pretty straightforward. That actually caused us the most issues out of any of these. And it's because we, by definition, we said they had to be diagnosed by a healthcare provider. And what we found, this was a great project and we learned lots of things. We found that many school nurses didn't separate those that were diagnosed by a healthcare provider and those that were identified by the parents. And it's important to get that identification from the parents, but it's also important to follow up with the healthcare provider to see what was going on. We also picked low-hanging fruit of these things, too. We're not saying these aren't very important things, but we wanted to do things that were doable. We wanted this to be a winning situation for school nurses. The other area was in workforce. We don't have really good data, and that came out, actually, when we were trying to determine how many, like, or the percentage of a state that participated, and some couldn't tell us because they honestly wrote, I have no idea how many nurses we have in the state. So they couldn't say how well it was being collected. The other thing, because this wasn't just for public schools, but we want all school children, so those going to private parochial schools, charter schools, and others, and that really threw a wrench in the work because they might know the number of RNs in a public school, and they, of course, by record, know the number of schools in a public school for the state, but they don't know for private schools, private and parochial schools. So the minute a private and parochial school provided data, it threw off their denominator because they had no idea how many there was. So it was a good aha for us, and I think it just shows the potential of where we go and the fact that that's not being collected, that it's valuable not just for public health, not just for school nursing, but in education as well, and really understanding where our children are going. So that was where staffing occurred, and then the other area was disposition, which Martha mentioned before. As well, we focused specifically on just the students that saw the RN. Now, I worked in Utah as a school nurse, and I covered multiple schools, so I didn't see a whole lot of children. And so for those, and Utah's not the only state that's like that. And there was concern expressed, and validly so, that, well, that's not going to represent what I do. And we realized this, but this was a beginning point, and data points for this year, we've tried to expand it. But we thought we started with the RN because they're the ones that are collecting it. This was a brand new program, and just go to a school and say, and secretaries, you're going to do this, and LPNs, you're going to do this. It was a little too much to begin with. So we started with RNs, and we just had them identify when they saw the child and did the child go home, was 911 or their emergency system activated, or were they able to go back to class. So those are the areas. Now the results. We were thrilled. Again, this is the first year, but we had 37 states participate, which I thought was honestly more than I was going for 35, so I thought 37 was pretty darn good. You can see the states that are listed here. There are several states that have the asterisks, and they only had a very small percentage, less than 5 districts participate. So again, by no means are we saying that this is generalizable for even all these states. But the important thing is that we are focusing on process this year, but the feedback we got from school nurses as we worked is that many of these states, or maybe locally, had been collecting data and had been told to submit it to the state, and like we always wondered kind of where it went. Well, we wanted to make sure we reported the data back to them, and so that's what we're doing. But, of course, we're being very clear on what we were doing and that the focus was getting this process in place for locals to collect it, to go to the district, to go to the state, to go to the national level. So of course it's not representative. Also, each question had a different response rate. For example, in some states they were able to give 100% of like the workforce, but the disposition was the one that was hardest for many of them because it was new. Not all of them were documenting that in a way that they could provide it to us. So it was it really did vary. So now for the results. So starting with workforce, we asked for FTE, of course, just because that was actually one of the big things that oftentimes they would say, well, we have 100 nurses, but one could be a part-time nurse, 0.2, and that's really different than a full FTE. So by FTE, and that was actually something that we had to work with them well on, but they, I think, get this now, you can see how it broke down. So we had over 16,000 that were registered nurses, and that's providing direct care. Where the RN float was that they had a title of a float that maybe they went around to various schools. And then RN special was if it was a one-to-one or a one-to-do, a very specific assignment. And we separated those out because that's really different working with a full population than working with a one-on-one. Eventually, we'd like to look at these numbers and find a way to look at ratio. There's a recommendation of one school nurse for 750 students. And even though there's some question of the research behind that, and it doesn't account for things like social determinants and other issues, at the same time, knowing what the workforce is important. And so we would like to get there, but we have to know how to account for some of these other positions, like LPNs, health extenders, and such. So we started separating it out. You'll notice that there are other groups missing. For example, we asked, LPN is for direct care, and then health extenders are your non-LPNs, not basically non-nurses. They're either aides or in some schools secretaries that are assigned to do health office work. And so, but there are other things. We didn't look at administration on this point, and we didn't extend, we said RN float and RN special assignments, but there are LPNs that do special assignments, and there are aides that do special assignments. None of that was included in there. Oh, okay, I thought you were going to say something like, great. So just as just broken down by percentage, I think you could, you know, but over half were RNs, so that's good to know. The next question regarding dispositions. This is how it broke out. So what we did for a denominator for this is we just took all that they reported as the total because we figured that was a beginning point. 91% of the students that were seen went back to class. Now this again is the first year we've collected it. Some states have been collecting this data for years, and it actually, even though we know this might not be generalizable, et cetera, et cetera, it runs about the same of what other states have found, which is 90% return to class after they've seen an RN. Again, we've looked at just RN this year. We'll be expanding it to others. 9% were sent home, like the parent was called, or medical care. And it says zero because the system rounded it. It was less than one, though, that 911 was called. So it's good that with the RN that they're going back to class. And this will be something, especially as we expand it, to look at when LPNs and aides and others see, to see if there's a difference. And the research has shown that when there is an RN, they're more likely to stay in class and in school. So we're going to see if that plays out across the board, which is why we collected it. And then the final area was with diagnosed chronic conditions. And just to make sense of it, we changed these into rates. We didn't change them. We calculated them into rates per 1,000. On the blue is what our data is, and then the red is just, and we're not saying it's necessarily comparable, but we wanted to just kind of see what was going on. These are from, I tried to get them as much as I could from the CDC just because it's very stable how they do their rates, and except for seizures, and it's just because they don't report it the same way, but just see the rates. So just kind of interesting. So from our school nurses who reported, per 1,000, 67 students had asthma. The national rates are 93. Now, I put specific rates, but one thing you'll notice and you might be familiar with when you're looking at this data is national rates are usually a range. Rarely is it actually 1 point. I was doing 1 point because I needed something to compare here. But, for example, for severe allergies, it's 40 to 60 students per 1,000. That in ours, it came to 20.7. You'll see in our seizures, it was actually we had a higher rate of seizures from those that reported compared to the national data. Again, we don't know if this is generalizable. We're not trying to make that statement, but it's something to start looking at, and it's something that we're starting to teach our local school nurses to look at, not just from national rates, which is what we've had, but they can take their rates and they can compare it with the state or with the national and look at things. And in fact, what I think is kind of neat is that Virginia, they actually partnered with their state epidemiologist, who did for each of the chronic conditions, I'm just showing asthma with their permission, they actually were able to break it down by county. They've never been able to do this before because we've never had data that way. And you can see that there are certainly some counties that are much more dense in the prevalence of asthma where others don't. And it provides them where they can put some resources. So again, looking at this not just from school nursing, but from that broader public health perspective, there's a great value in what can be done. Another example I want to share is Montana, who again partnered with their state epidemiologist, and they collected data a little bit more than what we had just asked, but they were looking, this is with encounters, and so the average encounter was 15.5, asthma, those with asthma, which there's the most common, was 2.1, but look at this with diabetes, and even though the rates of diabetes, as we know, are not as high as asthma and other things, but the amount of time that the nurses spend working with the children with diabetes is significantly higher. So again, it gave them some more fuel and some power behind what they know, and we've talked about anecdotally, but we actually have some data to start looking at it. So we've learned a lot. Now again, not generalizable, but we learned a lot. Great interest. We thought it was thrilling. In many of the states that weren't able to submit data, it's not necessarily because they didn't want to, but there were maybe policies in those states that they had to work around. We're really trying to make sure that they were doing that. They were asking where permission was needed before they share data. We only did aggregate data, but there's some things that we have to work with some states with. So it was no one said, well, I'm not going to do that. That's dumb. It usually had to do with just getting something up in place, working with vendors. So maybe they started and they're going to collect it this year, but they needed some time to get things up and running. So we felt really encouraged by that. Just by the little data we found and how we've heard how people have used that, we see there's some great value in the power of what school nurses do and the data they collect, not just for themselves, but for all of public health and for their communities, and shows the value of school nursing in a different light. It also helps, and we're working on strengthening those partnerships so that they can appropriately share information that can help as communities plan. A big thing we learned was that nursing comes in many forms, and we thought we knew this. There was 10 of us on our steering committee that all came from different backgrounds and states, and when the definitions that we used, you know, they had to be generalizable enough to count for all the, and yet we still, that was a lot of the feedback that we got from school nurses is they used a different term, or, well, we don't do that, or the whole thing about, well, they use maybe more RNs or LPNs and aides. And we weren't saying one model is right. We don't know. That's half the thing. This will provide us with great data. We can see what is the most effective and efficient model of school nursing. But we learned that there was more variance than we even knew. And yet, even though that we're different, we all have the same goal, which is working with students. So next year, we did expand just a few data points. We don't want to overwhelm people, and this is still a beginning. We know there's many more. We're actually working on looking at one for absenteeism, measuring absenteeism, because that's such a huge topic. Mental health has come up. There's other ones, but we got to get some good definitions that we can all stand behind. But we did see a big gap in looking at our workforce, is that we hadn't accounted for administrative time, and we hadn't accounted for LPNs and aides and others who work and do like the specialist assignments or the floats. We want to get a good picture of what's going on in the schools. So we did expand the data points in those areas, as well as in the areas of what we call the dispositions, the health office visits. So we have the RNs, but we've invited for those states that would like to also collect when an LPN or an aide or other person sees the student, what happens there, so that we can get a broader picture of that as well. This is all voluntary, by the way, and people are able to start at different levels, but we're just trying to make sure they have the resources they need so when they can start, they're able to. We're continuing to develop additional data sets. We're really working on a program to help the school nurses be able to share their data locally. We've developed some templates and things, but that was an area we found that school nurses would like some help on. So we want to provide them some support so that they can use their data themselves in influencing what they do and sharing with others. So I'm a quotes person. Oops, that doesn't want to show. This is Sherlock Holmes. But I think the importance of data is critical, and we live in a world of data, and it's important, instead of saying, well, I think, looking at what the data really shows and being able to make some educated decisions regarding resourcing and regarding our children's health, which is what we're really all after. So everywhere we go, we invite everyone to step up and be counted, and invite the school nurses that you work with to be part of it if they're not already. And thank you. Thank you.